Hello, everyone. Welcome to the GTM podcast. My name's Alex. You can find me on Twitter with Alex Does Cars. Not hey, underscores, because I'm a fucking idiot. And I'm with Bentley and Liam from thebackroads.co.uk. Say hello.
Liam has returned.
Liam has returned. It's been, what, six episodes without the lamb?
A bit more than that, I think. I think it was episode three.
One, I believe. Podcast was the history story thing. So I'm not including that. I think it's like six episodes.
No.
That's mad. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah, and we've done a couple that we haven't actually included because they were so bad.
Oh yeah, we have our rough days like everyone else, but more of them. So news is really slow because it's just been the Geneva show, hasn't it? And after that, everyone's kind of worn out. Car manufacturers are like, oh, we have no more news. So I've been reading things
not
like
that we bought anything special out during the show.
Yeah.
it was a bit shit, wasn't it?
We've exhausted all our options, there was some, but it was a bit
there
shit.
There was some good stuff. Like, yeah. There were specific things, like Aston Martin.
Oh, of course, yeah. But the thing is, with this one, I just didn't feel the buzz from Geneva this year.
No.
You didn't go there, did you?
No, but the news coming out.
Oh, that buzz.
No, I was I was just hanging from the roof, Bentley.
I felt the buzz so much I didn't even bother looking.
That's probably why you don't think there was much news from it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. we'll go past
so
that.
Disappointed.
You're so disappointed.
Yeah.
Why are you disappointed?
There's better stuff coming out on the bike scene.
Oh, so we're taking shots at cars now. Yeah, things with four wheels. You had to slide that in there, didn't you? You couldn't let it go.
Oh, yeah. Indeed.
Just a quick note, Lam, your mic's distorting just a little bit.
Oh.
It's just a tad of peaking, but that might be on your Discord.
Yeah, it could be Discord. Yeah.
It could be. It might just be because I'm abnormally loud this evening.
Someone's been drinking whiskey.
I haven't actually. I've been drinking nothing but straight water.
You bloody hell, that pushing a boat out.
What the hell are you doing?
I don't know. I don't feel particularly well.
Oh no!
Because I'm drinking water.
Oh. It's gone to your head. You lightweight.
There's a lot more oxygen now.
He's been eating amounts of salami. Now the garlic's got to him and he has to drink loads of water.
I do love munching on some sausages.
Who doesn't?
You sausage muncher.
So bringing it back. Yeah, that hasn't been a lot of news, but I thought Geneva was all right. There definitely wasn't that kind of, oh my god, this is incredible. But Aston Martin, I thought that was pretty good. Like, what they brought out was pretty...
The Koenigsegg was actually bloody lovely.
Oh yeah, the Koenigsegg as well. Yeah.
Koenigsegg, whatever you
want to
call it.
But there wasn't really much else. I was expecting a bit more from Ferrari. Lamborghini.
Never bothered by the Italian stuff, really like that, the Ferrari stuff. They're red, aren't they? Always red.
Yeah. I suppose they are.
Kind of.
This is the kind of journalism we expect at GTN.
Yeah.
So for this podcast, because we're so useless, not useless, because the industry's been so useless lately, we've kind of...
Ooh, he's really throwing shots out there.
Well, no, it's just slow. There's nothing going on. Thought we'd kind of... get what we can, maybe something a little
bullshit
bit funny.
Bullshit
our way through the podcast. Originally, we were going to make up stories. That's how bad it's got. But Lam, you have quite an interesting one, don't you?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Do you?
And this isn't made up.
Yes.
This isn't made up, oddly. It's
this is real, isn't it?
It is real. It's... Well, let's put it this way. There's going to be some very unhappy Porsche customers, I can tell you that much, because their GT2 RSs are quite happily sitting at the bottom of the sea right now.
Did they have a cruiser role?
Well, first of all, the Germans have forgotten it's not World War II and have invented a brand new type of U-boat, apparently, which is codenamed the GT2 RS.
but
essentially
that kind of submarine.
Yeah, this tanker, for whatever reason, or transport ship, whatever you want to call it, for whatever reason, has had some sort of a major incident, and half of Porsche's bloody shipment has gone down with the ship.
Yes! That's amazing! So many beetles have floated to the bottom.
So you've got this situation now where you had these limited cars and now Porsche have got, oh, bugger,
even more limited.
We've got to start reproduction of them now.
We'll have to have number 393. Yeah. Hang on a second, didn't that go down with the ship? Oh, yeah. We'll have to do 394 then.
Yeah. How many of them were there? There were not that many.
There were four GT2 RSs as far as I'm aware.
Oh, my God.
But
that's so awful.
The Germans seem to have this tendency of creating stuff, especially the things that float on water, and they get sunk before they do anything. Tirpitz, I'm looking at you.
Bismarck.
You know when it happened and they didn't want to tell anyone about it, you know what they called it?
What?
They called it a cargo embargo. Kill me now.
Folks.
Oh, yeah. And I haven't been drinking whatsoever. Oh, no, I think it's great. So a load of Porsche prospective owners are just not killing themselves. They've just got their head in their hands, wanting their money back.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, they're going to be making them replacements for the owners, but...
Oh, yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah, that'd be really shit.
Yeah, you can privately dig them out of the bottom of the ocean, out of the sand. The leather might be a little bit spoiled.
Yeah, let's hope they've got some rust-proofing on them.
Yeah. A little bit.
Bring up a seam mine with
it. Bring it up and just spray it with Hamrite. That's all right. Yeah, mate. There you go.
Special edition.
Yeah. Steel seeds, specifically eaten by the deep sea fish.
Don't worry about the shark that's in there. It's fine.
Oh, what's the paint color on this Porsche? Oh, it's coral blue.
That was so bad.
Is it brown or is it orange?
Oh, God.
This one's got a pearlescent effect
purple.
On it. No, that's just algae.
but how exciting is that? It's not every day you get a load of cars. We should train.
What, to blow the card off? Cars off into the sea?
Yeah, we should train to scuba dive and just go find them. And I was going to say pick them up, but they're a bit heavy.
Just drag them up. Come on, boys, we'll drag these to the surface.
Yeah, because they're, you know, that'd be great.
2 miles down.
Can you imagine the story behind that? The amount of money it would value at.
What?
This is the Porsche that saw the bottom of the sea.
I wonder how that stands. I wonder if that's still their property. It must be.
Oh, surely, yeah.
Well, it depends if it gets written off.
Oh, I think it's been written off.
Yeah, you never know.
They might try and recover it.
Interesting.
No, they'll just be, you know, straight onto the ship's insurance company.
Yeah. Mad. That's cool, though.
It is very funny. Very funny. I had a piece of news, but I found out it was completely fake. So what I thought my news was that, well, you know, Ford's bringing out this new hybrid Mustang.
Yes, yeah.
And they've been teasing it for a while. Well, Car and Driver, they've now changed the headline, actually, but I saw it on Twitter a few hours ago, and they said that the new hybrid Mustang was going to be inspired, a Mustang-inspired electric crossover, which... Oh. I read that and I was going to kill myself. I was going to end it right there and then.
Just jump off the freaking flat.
Yeah, exactly, because I thought the Mustang was going to be turned into a bloody crossover. Thought they were taking the Mitsubishi route then.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But that no, there's going to be two different cars. There's going to be the Mustang Hybrid, which, as far as we know, is going to look like kind of like a Mustang and... You know, it'd be a sports car.
It's so wrong. That's just wrong.
It's, well, I mean, the Dodge are doing the same thing with the Challenger, aren't they? They're going to make the Challenger hybrid. But I mean, what else can they do?
Wrong.
What else can they do though? You know, they want to be the fastest cars on the road.
Well, you've got to facilitate a market. But it is wrong in my head.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, for a muscle car, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To me though, the thing is, muscle cars, they've got to be fast, but they don't need to be the fastest. They've just got to have that kind of magic about them. You know what I mean?
Right, they've got to go... Wah! Yeah,
make a load
of
noise.
They don't do that and they shit.
Yeah, well, thankfully, it's only a hybrid, so...
yeah, that's not too
thing
bad.
Is, it's Ford. I bet you anything they're going to put a V6 in it. I bet it's going to be an EcoBoost V6.
Oh, no, don't. Totally ruined.
How bad would that be?
It's not a Mustang if it doesn't have a V8. I'm sorry, it's just... It's
no,
not...
you're right. Yeah,
yeah, I think no, that's American Muscle. It's American Muscle, not American Hybrid.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know... I know...
Yeah, it's not going to shake with the torque, is it?
Yeah. But... You know, the turbo Mustang, the four-cylinder EcoBoost turbo thingy bob. It's fast. It's fast, especially with the tune. Yeah, it's VA fast, but it's just completely wrong. It is completely wrong.
It's not making the right sound, is it?
No. So.
And it's not burning enough fuel.
Yeah. Exactly. It's not producing. It's not burning fuel and making sound. That's what an American muscle car should do.
Exactly. That's why you buy one.
Oh, exactly, yeah. So, yeah, I don't really have any news, because there's that, which, you know, is kind of news, but kind of know about it. Lister brought out a new LFT. It's the Thunder, and they've given
What's that, the bug-looking piece of rubbish?
No.
Yeah, the green one. It's awful.
Yeah,
it's
basically, awful.
Yeah, like a bug. It looks like a not a beetle, a bug as in like an
actual
bug.
Yeah,
an actual bug, yeah.
Yeah, so basically they've just
Why have they done that?
Because they want more money. Easy money.
Yeah, but it's another rubbish car.
Yeah, it's so lazy, isn't it? It's so lazy.
They are producing a lazy line of vehicles there.
Yes, they are. But
because we were disappointed when we went to see the original one, really.
Yeah, the Thunder, as it was called. Well, it was just an F-Type with a bigger supercharger, wasn't it? And some fancy leather.
And some slightly redone leather interior with their name all over it.
Yeah, exactly. And then they eventually got a bit of a body kit. They eventually brought out a different body kit, but even that hasn't made much of a difference. And now they've kind of done the same thing, but to the convertible F-Type. I'm not sure if
I don't like convertibles anyway.
No. I mean, the F-Type's one of the better-looking convertibles, but I still wouldn't buy it.
No.
It can do 205 mile an hour.
Great.
I'm pretty sure there are other convertibles which can do higher
205 mile an hour, and your hair just like...
Yeah, can you imagine?
Just gets ripped off. Off you go, for two pesos flying down the freaking track.
Because I was hoping that it would be the fastest convertible. You know, just put something to its name, but I'm pretty sure it's not. I really don't think it is the fastest convertible.
I doubt it. I really
don't
think
so.
Same 666 horsepower, 666 horsepower, like the devil. Boring.
See, what I don't get about this is why would... as much as the idea of Lister coming back, it's all cool, that sort of thing. But why would you go out and get... £139,000 convertible F-Type when you could get a V8 Vantage, the new one, or something equivalent from Aston Martin.
Nice.
Yeah.
Like, or just, even if you didn't want to spend the money, just a standard F-Type. When are you ever going to use 666 brake horsepower on the road?
Or just go and buy a nice Porsche.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm not really a fan of Porsches, but I'd quite happily go and buy one of them over that.
So would I. I mean, I am a fan of Porsches, so I would, but...
It seems a really pointless car.
It seems like they're kind of putting the Lister name in a bit of a hole for me, because they're kind of ruining it. I'm interested...
Aren't they doing... The
Knobbly.
Production?
The Knobbly, yeah.
That does look lovely.
That looks fairly good, yeah.
But it's very, you know, it's fair to say that these first few cars, including the SUV
iterations,
it's gonna be they're just money making.
Yeah, they're funding the true project,
exactly,
aren't they?
Yeah,
really, it's they're kind of crowdfunding it through two crap little cop outs.
Yeah, it's kind of easy money. It's not easy, but you know what I mean. It's kind of the easy way to get Lister back into people's news feeds.
Back into the limelight. Yeah,
but I don't know. I'm still not sure.
I wouldn't buy the convertible one. Definitely not.
God no. But there will be people who buy it. There's only 10 being made, I think.
So there's that exclusivity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Exclusivity. Yeah. Women will probably buy them. Well, husbands for their wives.
Yeah.
I think, possibly. I don't know because. I can't remember. I think it's the Project 7, isn't it? The original sort of F-Type.
Yes.
That's sort of the same concept, really.
Well, the Project 7 was really designed after the racing car. The
It's a proper GT engine in it, isn't it? Oh, proper.
I'm pretty sure it's the same engine.
Yeah.
Racing engine. But it's got a cool-looking body kit. Like, it's got the kind of the Stirling Moss seat.
It's got that vibe,
hasn't
it?
That
classic
back,
vibe.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it's got the hump at the back behind the driver's seat only. So it's really kind of racing car-y. Right.
That's quite cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. I thought we saw it at...
We did
see it. Chateau,
yeah.
Because Harry Metcalf owns one.
Yeah, we saw, me and Liam saw it at the F Pace showcase.
Yes. Oh, really? That's probably the same one, actually. Probably the same one.
Could be. No, I think the one we saw, isn't that the one that rolled off their production line first and they kept it or something?
Yes, yeah, it
is, yeah. Oh, is that the Project 7? That?
Yeah, the actual Project 7.
Yeah, the one, the original one.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool. Because they've released the Project 8 as well now. It's kind of old news, but
it's
still a badass car. It looks great. I love the look of it.
I like what Jaguar are doing at the moment with their projects.
And they're going young, aren't they? We talked about it before, actually.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
Maybe it wasn't on the podcast. I think it was like between us. Mm.
Yeah, because they had a very old man image.
They're definitely targeting a younger market. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well,
I went into a... Funny enough, I went into a Jaguar dealer today.
Mm.
An older Jaguar, he deals with older Jaguars,
right.
And the customer base in there is sort of 65 plus.
Right, yeah.
It's never really, you don't see a young man in there looking at them to buy them.
Mm.
Whereas if you go to the true new Jaguar dealership, there's a lot of younger people in there now.
Yeah, I came up with an advert for Jaguar. And it's just cool.
Did it do that?
No, it was very simple. It just starts with, do you remember your dad's Jag? And then it's got a photo of an X-Type. And then it just disappears. And it says, no, we don't either. And then it's just got a photo of an F-Type.
Right.
But how cool would that be? Like, really?
It would be
thing
cool.
is, Jag would never do that because they...
Well, they destroy the one customer base.
they wouldn't ever put their history
totally
to shame.
Totally counterproductive to what they're trying to do.
Well, it's not, because they're trying to get a younger market.
Yeah, but they've got to keep the older audience, because the older audience can afford the car.
Well, buy it outright. Yes. But to be honest,
that's the difference, isn't it? So the younger audience are going to buy the lower-end model, whereas the older person is going to come in and buy the full.
Yeah. I mean, they're definitely marketing it towards the younger audience, though, like, you know, kind of 30s.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, car manufacturers don't want to sell cars outright anyway. They hate that these days. They'll always want you to do some sort of finance deal.
Yeah, and they make money out of it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
What do we actually think of Jaguar? What do we think of the is it the F-Pace with the soft top?
Why?
What?
Yeah.
F-Pace with a soft top?
Isn't it the F-Pace
or is it
the
E-Pace?
It might be the E-Pace.
Either way,
it's got a soft top, and it looks shit.
They're going down the JLR route.
Yeah,
well, I haven't seen this.
Well, that's because they're on Jaguar Land.
That's exactly what I just said.
I might be getting confused. You know, it might even be Land.
There's an Evoque. There's an Evoque with a soft top.
Oh, maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. I might be thinking of that. Oh, no, I swear it's an E-Pace or an F-Pace. It's done it as well, you know.
I put it in E-Pace.
Convertible.
Nothing's coming up.
Oh, okay, then I'm talking about the Range Rover. But still, it looks awful.
Yeah.
Same company. Close.
Well, pretty much.
Yeah.
Speaking of Jaguar Land Rover, what the hell is going on with the Defender?
Ah, so yeah, you've seen that. So it was spotted on the Nürburgring,
wasn't it?
I haven't
seen this. I'm going to quickly delete.
So, yeah, it was spotted on the Nürburgring, and it looks strange. So there are a couple of points. Why the Nürburgring?
What the bloody hell is that?
I mean, let's just... The way it looks, I have a feeling they've just put extra panels on it just to camouflage it. Because that's not unheard of. I think that's quite... You know, it's quite normal with test cars that... They camouflage it so you don't know what it's going to look like.
But it's low.
Yeah. I don't know why the hell it's on the Nürburgring. Why isn't it not on a farm?
I mean, this is what... Just to quote Chris Pollitt on this, he said it's like testing Wellington boots on a running track.
That's such a good analogy.
It does not make sense. Why would you take it?
To be fair,
there?
It looks like it's dipping into that cooler pretty well.
That's
it
not shouldn't. The point. It shouldn't.
It shouldn't be there. No.
It should be.
It looks to me like it's going very Discovery.
Oh, better not be using the same.
If
chassis.
It stays like that, it looks Discovery like that. You know, what's that awful new squished toaster look? That all about?
Squished toaster.
I think. It's just one of those cars that didn't need to be redesigned.
It should have stayed square and not got thinner.
Yeah, I liked the concept
with
images.
An asymmetrical door.
I liked the concept images. They were cool because it kind of added like this modern feel, but to a classic design.
I didn't turn out that way though, did it? Looked like a freaking spongy marshmallow. It's been melted in the sun.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping it is just...
With the Bunsen burner.
With the Bunsen burner. Just add that, you know, bit of detail.
Yeah, just for the extra heat, make it melt a little bit more.
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, panels that they've put on the back just to hide it. I'm hoping desperately that it doesn't
and
actually...
It's still not
like
sitting high up,
no.
Is it?
No. Maybe it could be like an SVR version.
It could be, actually. You have hit a nail there.
It could be that this is a completely different...
Yeah, it could be.
You know... type of defender.
Oh, if it is an SVR, that'd be good.
No. No, it wouldn't.
Yeah, it would.
No. No, yeah. It wouldn't.
It would be good. You know why it'd be good, don't you?
Why would it be good?
Because it makes an amazing sound.
Well, it should anyway. It's a defender.
It should be a big, big V8, but...
Yeah.
But going slowly over a farm.
Oh, yeah. But if it goes... Ah, on the farm, be great for rounding sheep up, wouldn't it?
Mm.
Collie anymore. Come on,
great.
Collie. You get out, you get...
No.
It'd be good.
It's just I'm just looking at the pictures now and...
No, admittedly. It looks like it very much could go Discovery, and if it does, then it needs to be murdered, crushed, and then dumped in the sea with those nice German vehicles.
Yeah, I don't like it. But I mean, it shouldn't be on the Nürburgring, and God, please don't be a sports version.
It should be in a quarry. It shouldn't be in
should
a
be, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It should be in a quarry covered up with freaking rubber.
Yeah, yeah. A quarry that's getting filled
just
with water.
It before it can lay eggs.
Murder. Death. Oh, wow. We've destroyed Jaguar Land Rover just now, then.
Yeah,
really,
sorry,
JLR. The last 15 minutes. JLR have been wrecked.
What is the worst concept you've ever seen? What is it?
The List of Thunder.
The List of Thunder.
That's a good point.
That's a very good point. That was the most disappointing
Sorry, Lawrence.
I've ever been.
We love you, really,
yeah.
Mate.
Yeah, we do. But bring out the knobbly.
Your cars are a little shit. Let's hope they get good with the knobbly. Who calls their car a knobbly?
Sterling Moss.
Yes, Sterling Moss. You know what I'm really
Silly
looking forward
Sterling.
To? I'm looking forward to that that Lamborghini concept that was partly made by MIT.
Refresh my memory.
What is it called? Can't remember what it's called.
MIT.
Lamborghini concept.
Lamborghini mitt.
MIT.
The Lamborghini.
The mittens are out.
The Lamborghini oven guy.
Oh, here we go. I found it. Oh, it's called the... The what? Terzo Millennio.
Terzo Millennio.
Just Terzo Millennio. Apparently it's self-healing. I called it.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. When you ding it, it goes bling, comes back out.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Because people are dinging cars all over the place.
Yeah, they really are.
BMWs in the car park. and they ding Beetles when they're sitting there. Thank you, RAC.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, and weak old cars. Yeah. Oh, it's been a horrible time. Mm. We've had really bad
Indeed.
Luck. Right. Bentley, you were talking of some kind of news.
I have two bits of news, but they're not real.
Yeah.
They're off the top of my head.
So right. let's just.
But they could be a good point for discussion.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's just reiterate. Right. So, like I said at the beginning, of the podcast, there wasn't a lot of news. So what we were going to do is kind of tell you what we wanted to hear. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
VW Dieselgate was actually a big conspiracy or something. But.
Yeah, and then the other two found real bits of news and left me in the freaking.
Yeah. Yes.
Thanks.
That's all right, mate. That's what we're here for.
Yeah. Loving.
Thank you very much.
We're caring.
So, yeah, what are your pieces of news that you wanted to?
Well, my first bit, I think it's quite cool, actually, is there. So, Scania have decided that they're going to bring out. You know, they do. You know, truck racing.
Yeah,
I did a big truck racing.
I know where this is.
They are going to bring out one of their. You know, their racing trucks.
Yeah,
they're bringing one of them to the road.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's got. it's got really wide rim. Wide rim.
Get there in the end, mate.
Yeah, Perkins. It's got really wide wings, and what they've done is they've made the cab so it goes, looks a bit like a bus, it comes back down and it sort of slopes. So you don't see the framework of the wing on the racing ones.
Okay.
So it's all aerodynamic. And then at the back, it comes up with a little, like, sort of whale tail type thing comes off the back. They're not designed to drag anything, they are purely for street use. For racing around the street. I think they look bloody good. They're running just over 3,500 brake horsepower.
Right, okay.
Out of a 12 litre V10.
From a Merlin, right? Merlin engine.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. But what it is, it's a Merlin engine, but the Merlin engine has been converted, so it's a two-stroke. But it doesn't go bing, 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 bing.
It just goes thud, 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 thud.
No, it goes oh, like that.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, see, it's smooth. It's got a smooth sound. You wouldn't expect it from a 12-litre V10.
No, I wouldn't expect it from an engine that comes from a Spitfire.
A converted two-stroke diesel Merlin engine, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and this guy, it's basically been lowered. It's been lowered. It sits really low to the ground. And you can just have it as a daily. You don't need a lorry's driver's license to have it. You can just have it. Because it doesn't weigh over the 3 ton for a lorry license. Only weighs 1,600 kilos. So it's just under the C license, isn't it?
You can't tell that you've made this up, can you?
I'm just sat here bewildered.
Sorry? Yeah, because...
You could go for anything and you go for a racing truck.
You could have made...
Well, I love lorries, don't I? I love lorries. And I thought, you can't have a lorry that can go on the road. Like,
well,
where
like
I
can
drive it. Well, I know they can go on the road, but you have to have a licence to drive them.
You do like, most things.
Better to have a lorry.
This is not adding
up. Better to have a lorry that you can just drive on a standard B, like Category B licence.
Right? What's the point?
And it's got race spec stuff on it.
Right, so let me get this straight.
So basically, it's like a
right,
car.
Yeah, it's a car, but it's a full-size lorry. A racing one.
But it can't pull anything. So it might as well just be a car.
No, but you don't want it. It's a daily drive, isn't it? It's a daily drive.
But it's massive.
Yeah. you know this is my dream, to have a daily drive as a lorry cab.
I don't know what to say. Whose idea was this?
Liam's just going. It sounds like a broken record, but he joined in on the Merlin engine. What is interesting? So there is actually a fact in here, okay. A real fact.
The Merlin engine.
Well, the Merlin engine is a fact, but actually, it's something you wouldn't expect. I think I've discussed it before.
Right.
Okay.
A two-stroke diesel
exists
in a lorry.
Uh-huh.
That's the fact in there. That's real.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they are... I think the one at the show was 12-cylinder, not 10.
Oh.
Yeah, but they are two stroke.
So, yeah.
Now I've got you both bewildered, I'm going to kick you with the second bit, which is even better. So, yeah, you seem both quite bewildered by that one.
You could say that.
But, yep, yep.
Yeah. That's... So, the second one, and I think you might be a little bit happier for this one. So, you've got a bunch of Japanese manufacturers have decided that they're going to bring back 90s models of their cars.
Hmm. Okay.
So you've got like the RX-7 coming back, the Skyline coming, the True Skyline coming back, the Supra coming back, and they're going to produce them in.
That's made a big controversy.
En masse. They're not limited numbers. They're produced as a modern day car, and they're bringing them back. This as a special line.
So but
they're all doing it.
You just said something that could anger a lot of people.
Why is that?
You said a Skyline's coming back, but a True Skyline.
Oh.
Interesting. So, Bentley, why is the new GTR not a True Skyline?
Oh, no, it's a nice one, but it's not this square one, is it?
Well, yeah, because aerodynamics were invented.
Yeah. But it's a True Skyline is the old one.
So what how old are you saying? Are you saying 90s Skyline or like early Skyline?
Yeah, I'm saying 90s. Yeah, 90s Skyline. So that to us, that's our true. It's the true era of Japanese cars. Yeah, but if you take it a generation below us, then it would change, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But to us, I'm saying like you know, Fast and Furious, Need for Speed.
Yeah.
That sort of era. So yeah, I mean, I could say True Supra, but that's not going to be the True Supra to someone else that likes Mark III and Mark II. Yeah.
There's a lot of love for the Mark III Supra.
There is
Supra.
Yeah, I know someone that had one actually. This is pop up lights, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's one. My friend had one of them and couldn't like. It just had so many problems. Loved it, but I had a lot of problems with it. But then they're all going to have problems, aren't they? They're old.
I'd quite like to see the Celica GT4 come back.
Well, that's what I meant. It's just like the whole 90s era just replaces what they've come... Not replaces, but it comes back as a separate entity.
Does that mean we'd get the return of the Evo?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
The good
all
Evo.
Those cool, all those... Yeah, the good stuff. All the cool... Well, what we would consider cool, good Japanese cars all just start getting reproduced en masse again, and you can buy them. They're not special edition. They don't have any... like massive amounts of money on them. They're just a standard price of a modern new car.
So you're thinking like, you know, they make those reproductions of old Ford GT40s made by a separate company but using the same rights because it's like a continuation.
No, they're made by the manufacturer, sold in their dealership.
Hang on. So are we talking literally copy and paste from the 90s or are we talking modernized?
Oh, no. Yeah, copy and paste, but like then better electronics in them.
Because I thought you were suggesting that they'd bring back the model lines, not the actual
cars themselves.
Yeah, that's
what I thought originally. I was like, then you've missed some news.
The actual vehicles.
Okay, I get
that.
The
real ones. And you can go in the bike, like you could go in the thing and go, you could go and get an RX-7 tomorrow. New.
Wasn't there something recently when Nissan said they were going to start reproducing R34 and R33 parts?
Yes. So they've started... is it just the racing parts? It's just... No, I don't think it is.
No,
it is just
I think
the
it's
actual
the,
parts,
it's
it?
The actual parts because
they've become
people
so
want
popular.
Them.
Yeah.
Well, there's a massive heritage, isn't there? They'd be mental not to do it.
Yeah.
It's like that bike that I've just bought. I mean, I know it's not as old as him. I mean, they're 27-year-old cars, and these 30-year-old cars, aren't they? But the bike's 14 years old, and most stuff would be at 14 years old. Well, my van's 18 years old, and you have to really search if you want a spare bit or get it from a breakers. But you can get all the parts for that bike tomorrow, brand new.
Sure,
they're still producing them because it's popular.
Yeah. I wonder how popular these cars are, though. Because, I mean, it's got to cost quite a lot to bring old parts back.
I would
agree. Because they've already got the tooling.
The tooling
costs the money.
But I think also we're forgetting that over in Europe, perhaps, they're quite rare cars. But we've seen over in Japan, they're not.
Yeah, true. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, what costs the money in a production is when you've got to build, manufacture, engineer, and make all the tooling to create it. If you can just pull that out of storage and start making the money again, happy days. Why wouldn't you do it?
Well, I wonder if they still have the tooling.
Oh, yeah, I'd imagine they would.
Yeah, they wouldn't get rid of it.
Nah, I can't imagine they'd get rid of it, nah. I mean, some stuff they might do, but then you can remake the moulds and things, can't you? Like pipe work and things like that. Those moulds might have gone. But it only takes you a few minutes to go and get another pipe, make the mould from the pipe that exists and do it again.
Mm.
Not a few minutes, but you know. And then they'd have all the original blueprints and plans and all that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sure.
So it'd all be manufactured again. I suppose that they're probably only producing the bits that are really needed that break a lot.
Yeah.
So like suspension arms and things like that, bushes, stuff that goes a lot. I'll tell you what, I'm really surprised. I'll be very surprised if Toyota haven't done that for the Supra as well, because it's got such a drift/racing side.
Well, no, because everyone would just request new 2JZ engines, wouldn't they?
Oh, yes, please. You can still buy them.
I was just about to say you can still buy them, yeah.
What, brand new?
Yep, yep.
Wow.
It's very, very expensive.
Oh, it doesn't surprise me, but I didn't know that.
They're probably building them from order, aren't they?
So I've just been looking at this. They're calling it heritage parts. They haven't got the tooling. They are actually... It says that you'd be lucky to actually find... a part that hasn't been used before. They are just...
Are they reconditioning?
They're reconditioning them. The majority of them are reconditioned.
Interesting.
They aren't being mass-produced whatsoever. They are just reconditioned. The majority of them.
Bloody hell.
I thought they were brand new parts.
So did I. Because I remember reading about this ages ago. That's weird, isn't it?
Because that's like, I tell you what, that sort of, it rings home to what I told you, because you were talking about getting the GTO, weren't you? The Mitsubishi GTO. Like, you looked at them. Is it the GTO you were looking at?
Oh, yeah.
And I said, don't, whatever you do, don't get one, because one of the customers that I go to just says you physically can't get the bits. You can go to Mitsubishi and say, have you got this? And the likelihood of them having it's zero.
Yeah.
They haven't got those bits anymore. You can literally service them.
Mm.
And if they go wrong, you've got to hope for the best and find something on a breaker or manufacture it itself.
Yeah.
There's no way of... Which is a shame, because I quite like them. They look quite good.
Yeah, they're good-looking cars.
Yeah, they are good-looking cars. And I've always liked cars that aren't popular. And the GTO... No, they're not at all. Because I completely forgot that the GTO was even a car. And then I was just looking... I don't know. I think I was just reading an article and the GTO popped up and I thought, oh, you know what? That's a really good-looking car.
Yeah, they do look good.
Yeah.
I don't think they're very powerful, though.
They're not that fast,
They're a bit sluggish and heavy, but...
Yeah, because they're all-wheel drive.
MR2 competitor, right?
They look good, though.
No.
Are they sort of a slightly higher-end... I don't
almost kind of like Skyline competitor.
Really?
I was going to say, yeah, you've got... it's like kind of Eclipse-y
very
type
similar
side of
very similar to a Skyline, front-engined, all-wheel drive, rear steer.
I didn't know they were all-wheel drive.
The good ones
I thought they were front-wheel drive, sorry.
Yeah, some are, but the good ones are all-wheel drive.
Okay, that explains it. Mm. Yeah, I don't know much about the GTO. I just know what it looks like.
That's a good point. Is it front-wheel drive or rear-wheel drive?
Because I always thought that the GTO sold quite well in the US because they couldn't I couldn't get a hold of something. Like, people were using the GTO as a Skyline replacement in the US, basically.
Yep. Yeah. But yes, front or four-wheel drive, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But like I said, the good ones are all-wheel drive, not front-wheel drive. Go on.
Interesting. Little bit of a fun thing. I don't know. I could have been dreaming. No, I definitely wasn't dreaming because I was driving it today. That little Alfa Romeo Mito, completely off topic.
Oh, yeah.
It just made me think of it. I've got a feeling that's got a limited slip diff in it, you know.
Really?
Because I did a... I hope work isn't listening to this, but I started doing burnouts on the grass...
Right.
And both wheels were spinning. But instantly. Not like on the gravel and that. And if I do that with my like my van, which obviously that's an open, only wheel spins, which it should do.
Yeah.
But both wheels spun, and when I turned in, both had eat marks where they'd gripped. Like they'd bored into the grass. But it's the sporty one.
Yeah, I just Googled it. I think they have got an LSD.
It's the sporty one. It feels quite tight in the corners, you know?
Yeah.
Feels pretty good in the corners. It's very solid. Planted.
I like the look of them, you know. I really like the look of them.
I like the look of them. They drive great. They're really fun. It's just a shame it's a Peugeot.
It's one puggy boy.
Oh, wait. Actually, wait a second.
Italian pug.
Oh, no. I think it's a Quaife. Limited slip differential, the same as what Ginetta use.
Does really? The Fiesta ST have one as well?
Yes, I think it does.
Or it's either that or the Focus RS. I know one of them does.
Actually, this is a point. On Top Gear, the Fiesta ST looked good, didn't it? Sounded good.
They're great sounding cars.
Yeah. Oh, is that the latest episode?
Yes.
I haven't seen the latest episode. I'm being useless.
Yeah, I've got to admit that I actually quite like this new styling. I really didn't at first.
I like the new logo of the Focus, is it? Yeah.
Focus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Focus, the new logo. I like that. It's quite cool.
Yeah, I've got to say...
You mean the rear badge, or...
Yeah.
I've got to say, I wasn't a fan of the Focus when I saw it on a screen, just because it looked like every other car out there.
It looks good in real life, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
It does look good in real life, yeah.
I mean, it still looks very similar to everything else on the road.
Yes, but I agree completely. But
that's unfortunately what the wind tunnel does.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
MPG ratings and all that bollocks.
It's,
cars can't have a character as such anymore because it's all based around figures.
Yeah,
you can blame the polar bears.
Production costs. I think it's production costs and stuff like that as well. Yeah. So they're building them on shared chassis and parts and all sorts now.
Yes, yeah. What happened in the latest Top Gear episode? I didn't see it.
I don't know.
No idea. I just saw that.
Yeah. actually, that makes it quite a nice little push to Top Gear and what we think of the new presenters. Yes.
I can't comment because I don't know who they are, but I know that. I don't know who they are. I haven't seen it, but I know that there's.
What? It hasn't been on yet.
No, but I don't know who's been announced. The only one I heard of is that Freddie Flintoff guy, because I heard Liam say it earlier and it jogged my memory. I did hear that he was going on it.
Yeah, it's Freddie Flintoff.
A couple of my medieval reenactment friends did a reenactment thing for BBC with him.
Right.
And he was a really nice chap.
I've heard he's a really nice chap. Yeah. I've also heard he's amazing at everything.
Yeah, he was pretty good in that. Funny enough, my medieval kit, he's worn.
Really?
Yep.
You could sell that for a mint, mate.
Because I'm tall. Aren't I? But he's... If you watch the video of the programme that he was on, he's in my kit.
Oh.
Yeah.
There you go.
Bit of claim to fame. But he's very tall.
Mm.
He's taller than me.
Mm.
But I'm not sure if I can see him doing cars.
No.
He's quite a polite chap. He comes across like polite and well-spoken.
Yeah,
and
definitely. Because, I mean, I've only seen him on...
Educated.
I'm not sure.
That educated tone to his voice, isn't he?
Oh, not what you mean. He's very... he's quite classy, isn't he?
Yeah,
but with a bit of an accent.
yeah.
I mean, I've only seen him on things like 8 out of 10 Cats, which is a British comedy Question Time kind of show. For those of you who don't know, and he's quite funny sometimes, but I mean, he doesn't really have much to him.
Like he's there's quite no substance, is there?
Yeah,
it's
he's
kind
quite
of you get
dry,
the front facing, but
flat.
Then there's.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's really unfortunate because I think you'll agree with this, Alex, is that Rory, Matt, and Mr. Harris have just really towards
they've
the end they've really
gelled,
got there.
They?
Yeah,
I saw I've seen all of them bar the last episode, and I thought they were so good. I thought they were bouncing off each other. You know, they were naturally laughing now, where before it was almost like a forced laugh. Like when Matt threw Chris through the wall in the paddock, I thought that was hilarious. And I was.
And they've just gelled, and then they've dumped them.
Yeah. Well, Matt left on his own accord.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. So Matt left, and then Rory Reid
family
was put
commitments.
On Buddy. Oh, was it family commitments? Yeah, that makes sense because he lives in America, doesn't he? But then
who does?
Rory was put on extra gear.
Oh.
Which is
shit. So what they've done is instead of finding a replacement for just Matt, because even Rory and Chris had quite a good chemistry going on.
They did, yeah.
They've just dumped him.
I wonder if it's because he's very young and they're struggling with
insurances.
And that
you know
sort of
what? I wonder if that's true. Although,
he drove a bloody 912, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. He's driven some of the best cars from, like, in the last couple of series of Top Gear, he has driven, like, the top cars. Like, his Japanese segment was.
Oh, it was
my
beautiful.
God.
Absolutely incredible.
So good. And no, it's interesting because
not then.
You know,
but why would they put you down?
I think because he's a bit too hip.
Yeah, the problem being is that I think the Rory's the kind of guy that I think actually could probably carry the series with Matt, with Chris as well.
Yeah, I agree. But he gives such a different side to Chris because Chris is all about.
He's very blunt, isn't he, Chris? He's quite salty in a way.
Yeah, like with his cars, he doesn't care what it looks like as long as it performs. Rory is the opposite. Yeah. And to have them
it's
butt heads.
It's all about how it looks, yeah.
Yeah, to have them butt heads is very funny.
It's chalk and cheese, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But it works really well. And Matt was always this kind of.
The middle ground, wasn't he?
Yeah, the middle ground. And he always either picks one side. It was just funny. And
it's
to be honest,
work.
Yeah, no. To be honest, I was watching it with Lyd, and she said, "We watched the Grand Tour, and you didn't laugh once. We watched Top Gear, and I was laughing all the way through it."
Really?
Yeah.
Because you did say that you didn't like Grand Tour multiple times. You said, "And another terrible episode of Grand Tour."
Yeah. I mean, there have been some amazing segments, don't get me wrong. Some incredible segments. So James May did a segment on the 50th anniversary of the moon landing, which was amazing. Yeah. And there have been, you know, some great historical segments. But the rest of it is just a bit forced.
Tarnished.
Yeah, I think...
Yeah, it's been done. It's forced. They've kind of become caricatures of themselves. That's what I keep saying to people. They've kind of become caricatures of themselves.
Lost their way a little. Well, no, they've been instructed.
I
don't think they've been instructed. I think they're just free to do whatever they want. That's why they went with Amazon.
I think the problem is that when they've gone from having limitations, so are forced to be creative, to having too much freedom. So how do you innovate? You know, to be fair, season 3 so far, I've actually enjoyed it. I will admit.
It has been better than season 2.
Yes, for sure.
I haven't seen any of them.
you should watch them because it's quite interesting to... I mean, the creative side of it is amazing. The videography, the audio. You know, you can tell that so much money has been put into that and there's so much talent, but it's... I think they're just getting too old. That's the thing. I think they're just getting too old.
See, I was very surprised to hear that they're probably going to do a season 4. I thought that you know, there's 3 of them. They should do 3 series, and then they should maybe back off and
they're actually doing season 4 and 5 and 6.
And
individual shows on Amazon.
I see.
Yeah,
bloody hell.
They are what's called milking a cow, I think.
and the cow has been well and truly dried up.
Yeah, you know, it's like you said, Liam. With Top Gear, they had a budget to work to. They had people telling them no, but now now they can do anything. They are doing anything, and it's kind of like, you know, let's
throwing
say,
shit at a wall and see what sticks.
Yeah, you know, like in a video game where you've got to make money to do things. If you use a cheat to get you all the money in the world, the video game
then
suddenly becomes
boring.
There's
no objective to the game.
It becomes,
it's
kind of like that. See, that's how I kind of feel.
That's good. Yeah.
And
I can't really comment because I haven't seen it. But
You well, no, you do need to watch
all
it.
All I know is I know that.
Yeah.
I know from Alex of what he said, like of it being dull.
So. Yeah, a lot of it's been quite boring. Even the car reviews, they're just.
But you struggled a little bit with last season as well.
I've struggled with all of them. I haven't finished season one.
Really?
Season one was awful.
He just admits the man that's the head of the Grand Tour Nation.
GT Nation.
He
GT
hasn't
Nation.
Seen the first series.
It's a tough one. Yeah, I think I respect them for what they're doing. I think that they've actually done some very, very cool things in the Grand Tour. But
they have.
There has to be an end. There always has to be an end. And I was hoping that season three would be the big sort of finale, because Clarkson's getting on a bit now, so's May.
What's he doing in it?
I think it would be better for them to go out on a high note rather than them sort of just get to the point where, you know, they've exhausted ideas, and then how do you make their last ever episode
they've
good?
Already hit that point. Gonna go out on a flat C.
Because
I don't know anything about music, but it sounded bad.
What I liked about episode one, season one, was that it played on this almost
fun,
but
it was making a point to Top Gear.
Yes,
I think.
Yes,
it was that force against Top Gear and that kind of competition where we legally can't do this, they've got to do this.
I liked that. Liked the fact that they were driving each other to do better, whereas now I feel like both have become quite comfortable in their own corners.
Mm.
And there's no drive anymore. You know, it's hard to explain.
To be honest, I think Top Gear is pushing more now. And the Grand Tour, because the Grand Tour is going to get followers. It's going to get viewership because it's Clarkson, Hammond and May, for God's sake.
Yeah.
But Top Gear really has to pull something out of their ass to actually, you know, do something that's entertaining for people to be entertained. So I think they're working a lot harder. I mean, the videography is nowhere near as good. Top Gear obviously is on quite a budget these days. But their ideas are good.
I don't know, it's not that bad.
Well, I mean, compared to the Grand Tour.
What's crazy is the BBC is a bit notorious for having corporate bigwigs in charge of all the creative decisions.
Yeah.
So it's always astounding me that Top Gear's been at the forefront of automotive, it's like cinematic visionary stuff. They really pull out the bag. A real pull stuff out of the bag, considering the creative side of the BBC is generally run by boring old farts.
Yeah. Well, they had their own team, didn't they, I suppose?
Yeah, I think you'll find that.
Yeah, but it's still limited. That's the trouble. They get a bit funny. Might not be the same anymore, but it was notorious for it back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, Top Gear's always been that show that's kind of escaped that stigma of the BBC.
I think that's what made it so popular.
It wasn't initially, was it?
No, the original Top Gear before 2002, when Clarkson rebooted it, it was even, you know, quite stale.
A little bit stale then, yeah. It was quite stiff, and that was very classical BBC. That is quite classic BBC, is a stiff sort of thing.
But it definitely
It's only in
got
recent
better.
Years that they've really started to ramp it up.
Yeah, but I mean, when you see the Grand Tour, you'll see what we're talking about. Like, it's such a step up from anything, really. The filming is just incredible.
Creative freedom, haven't you, I suppose?
Yeah, and, you know, the unlimited money.
Amazon's own art house on it.
No, it's not. They've had to put together their own teams.
They
completely
made, yeah. Well, it's, really? It's all Sons of Chumps, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, so they've literally sourced the best.
Yeah, exactly. They've got a lot of people from Top Gear, but they've got a massive budget. So, you know, they can get the best videographers and they can
That the, you'll remember this, the Top Gear episode where they went up against Sabine Schmidt and the Germans.
Oh, yes.
She winds me up.
Kiff the Sounder Man. Kiff Soundman? The guy that only had one arm?
Oh, yeah.
I noticed he still works on the Grand Tour.
It's basically the same team.
Yeah. They pretty much just brought the exact same team over.
Oh, wow. Can you imagine
and
that?
They still, because, you know, they're friends with the guys who create the new Top Gear. They still swap people every once in a while. You know, if someone's down on on numbers, then they'll just get, you know, get some people from the Grand Tour to do Top Gear or vice versa.
That's really cool.
It's that amazing. Cool. Yeah, it's really good. You know, people think there's a real competition between the Grand Tour and Top Gear, like an actual competition between the people who are on it. But no, then yeah, it's not. They're friends. They used to work together, for God's sake. You know.
Do you think that might be contributing towards why both shows have sort of leveled off, though? Because you've got technically the same people working on both.
Yeah, I think there's a definite budget difference.
Yeah, I was going to say you'd have the budget. Doesn't matter how creative the people are, if you've got a budget limit, that does limit that a little bit.
Like, you know, the Grand Tour has been everywhere. Like, in one episode, they went to, like, four countries. Like, Clarkson just took a car to... It was the Citroën, actually. The Citroën Aircross, the C3 Aircross. He just took it to three or four different countries in one episode to, like... What did he do? He, like, towed a ship... Like a car transport ship.
It's cost a fortune just to film that one.
Yeah, and it lasted like 10 minutes, and then he'd go to the next country and do something else, and you know they can get the most amazing landscape shots and things like that, and that all does add to it, obviously.
But you have got to remember they can get those landscape shots later on.
Yeah, but it was with like Clarkson in the shot.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, Clarkson at the top of a mountain talking about the Citroën. And then
the location scout alone is going to cost a fortune.
Oh, exactly. All the researchers.
Yeah, the pre-production and everything goes into it.
It's just mental.
It is crazy.
But it does make you wonder what Top Gear would be if they had the same budget. But
amazing.
Oh, it'd be just so good. But
breathtaking.
Then at the same time, people wouldn't watch it because it's not Clarkson having a May.
Yeah, this is the most unfortunate thing about Top Gear is that it will always be tarnished now.
Yeah,
it's a real shame. Yeah. It is a
shame. Yeah, because I think if first season first season with the new guys, I understand.
That's pretty
but
bad.
Now, I think that if Rory, Matt, and Chris had similar support, I think they'd be onto something really, really good.
Yeah, I think so. I think so too. It's just a shame. Actually, that brings us on to what should really be the last question of the podcast, because we've just gone past 59 minutes. Question time. Who should replace Matt and Rory? And it can't be Matt and Rory.
Chris
is staying, but who should have Matt and Rory's place? Two people.
Alan Rickman. Oh, no, he's dead.
That would certainly make it an interesting episode. What's that smell? Oh. I don't know. You know what?
Ooh.
I kind of want it to be proper journalists.
No, that'd be shit.
But not, well, I mean, funny journalists, like Richard Porter. I think he'd be very funny.
I don't know many people that do this sort of stuff.
But he's like,
I don't know
bugs.
Any people like name. Yeah, I don't know names. Actually, you've just brought a little thing to my point. I tell you who would be really fun.
Oh.
Colin Furze. Or
no, I can't stand him.
Old. Yeah, he might get a little bit annoying.
Look what I've done! I've put a flamethrower on a flamethrower and a fucking tiger.
Yeah,
I know one.
The other one
can't. No.
Yeah. Are you thinking of bikes?
I'm thinking the same guy.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
We were going to say
he would be good.
Let's all say it on the count of three. One.
Isle of Man TT guy. I forgot his name.
Yeah.
I was going to say Guy Martin.
Guy Martin. Yeah,
yeah. Guy Martin. Yeah.
I think
he'd
be very good.
Yeah,
I think he'd be great.
He would be good.
Yeah. Okay, so Guy Martin.
Be very good.
Chris Harris. Because then they could get some bike reviews in. That'd be good.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, he's actually... He's really big car guy as well.
He is a massive car guy, yeah. Because he had his own show. Or it was like a one-off, maybe.
It was bloody brilliant.
Yeah, it was very good. It was very good. Who else? The last guy.
He's actually the middle guy, isn't he, really?
Yeah.
So you need someone... I mean, he's funny, but he's sort of middle ground. So you need someone a bit more younger and hip.
More comedic.
I suppose. Yeah.
So, I mean, are we thinking
Bentley.
Someone who... Are we thinking someone who has a background in cars, or just someone completely, like almost like a comedian?
Because I know where you're going with this, Alex.
You better not say that bloody freaking guy. I hate him. He's really annoying.
What?
Who?
That guy that goes when he
I
laughs.
I was going to make a joke about Jimmy Carr.
That is,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, Jimmy Carr.
No, I wasn't thinking Jimmy Carr.
Punched.
I think I know who you're talking about, Alex.
I actually haven't got anyone in mind. Who are you thinking?
Not a Scottish bloke. I don't like him
either. I was going to say Rowan Atkinson. I don't know if he's a little too old to gel properly with Chris and Guy, but I think he would bring quite a nice older balance. Because the writing would be very good. The writing would be very good.
Can you imagine the crew that would come in with him?
Mm.
Bloody hell. His mates. Jesus. The comedic geniuses.
That'd be so good, wouldn't it?
It would be good. There we go. We found our new trio.
So what? Shall we wrap it up with the best Top Gear lineup of all time?
Well, we know where that's going.
So yeah, please post your hate mail to.
Terrible rendition of the Top Gear.
Yeah. Bow wow. Thank you so much for listening on that
Thank
awful note. Hey.
Oh,
there's been so many puns this episode. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be here next week.
Thank you very much.